हरे
So then we just finished that kacha, then was successful. And
there you say.
Kacha was successful. And he came back to the demigods. They were very pleased. They gave him benediction that he would also share in the sacrificial offerings. So but we see before he left in Devayani, then she asked Kacha to marry him. So why did he marry or not?
No.
Why?
Because he considered Devayani to be as a sister.
He considered her to be his sister.
Also, that he was born from the body, the same body as his cousin. So it's not just that way, but it actually, I was born from the same body as his
cousin. Yeah. Huh? You understand? Like that. And, but she was insisting. But that means then, before this, did he know that this was her intention? Right? They were together for 1,000 years. He would sing for her, dance for her, go pick flowers for her, do so many services for her, right? As the brahmachari in the ashram of her father. So did he ever know that this was her intention?
No.
No. And did he ever have this intention?
No.
No. Okay, so then they were always working as brother and sister, right? Does that make sense? Like that. Okay, and then why did, why did she curse Kacha?
Because she was agitated that he's not responding properly to her.
She was agitated he was not responding properly to her offer. So it would have been proper for him to accept.
She wanted him to accept, but he was giving some Shastra positions that according to Shastra he should not marry her.
Yeah. So then what's the root cause of her not understanding?
Attachment,
right? And then Kacha cursed her. Why did he curse her?
Because
of the passion, right?
Also, she didn't understand the proper relationship.
So, what was his curse?
That she won't be able to marry a rishi.
She won't be able to marry a rishi. Why?
She didn't have the behavior of a rishi's mother.
Yeah, because how she was behaving wasn't exactly according to what was ideal. Of course, she's attached, she's a girl, they do these things. But the point was is that. He was pointing out just that she shouldn't have cursed him just because he gave very solid reasons. So it was out of attachment then that she cursed him. So therefore then she didn't understand the actual mood of a rishi. Right? Because that means for them the shastra is the most important, right? Not desire. Right? Kshatriyas, you have desire, the shastra, but plus desire. You understand? For the Vaishyas, then the desire is become stronger, so they want to connect it to Shastra. That's nice, because you get a better result. But if not, sometimes they may or may not follow, right? Unless they're very serious. Unless, you know, if they're devotees, but we're talking the non-devotional side. Shudras generally means whatever they desire, that's what they have to do. Does that make sense? Yeah? So now, the women are classified technically in mentality with Shudras because of that nature. Right? But at the same time, is it just they're just like Shudras? It's a broad statement? No. So then, what is the actual position?
Attached
is there, but what I'm saying is within Varnashram, yet men are Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Women are classified like Shudras, but is it just a broad category and it's just that's the way they're dealt with? Who their husbands are, but then in a marriage, just any girl marries any man? Father, okay, that's a clever one. By the father's nature, but, do you want to say something?
There's also the aspect that they own Varnasa within that, within like Shudra, there's also gradation, there's a Shudra for Brahmanas, Shudra for Kshatriyas, Shudra for Vaishyas, Shudra for Shudras.
Okay.
So within that, there's also gradation, so that's how they connect to
that. Okay. Okay, so here's a, just as within Shudras, you have Shudras that assist Brahmins, Shudras that accept Kshatriyas, Shudras that accept, assist Vaishyas, and Shudras that assist Shudras, right? So in the same way, the women, they have an actual nature. They're Brahminical by nature, Kshatriya by nature, Vaishya by nature, Shudra by nature, right? But because of that attachment, because of lamentation, they're categorized that way. In mentality, not that they are that. Very important to understand. You know what I'm saying? Very important. Because otherwise, then some will say, oh, they're just all Shudras. It doesn't matter. No. A Brahmin girl marries a Brahmin boy, Kshatriya girl, Kshatriya boy, Vaishya girl, Vaishya boy, Shudra girl, Shudra boy. Right? And then within that, then there are finer points. So what it means is within that mentality, within the Brahmin mentality, the boy is that, has that, you situate nicely, the girl situated that, but because of the attachment, then the tendency is they will sometimes have that Shudra mentality. But it doesn't make them a Shudra. You understand? Yes? No? These are important fine points, because sometimes these are not understood, right? Some will say, girls have no Varna. But if they have no Varna, why does it say the Shastra, a boy and girl equal nature? Right? And nature, they mean Varna. Why would it say that? Why would Manu say that? Right? He's not, you know, just an ordinary schmo on the road, right? Yes.
As the Shastra mentioned, Anuloma Pratiloma also.
Yeah, the Shastra also mentioned Anuloma Pratiloma. Right? Why would they mention that if the girl didn't have a nature? So they have one. But by occupation, after marrying the husband, whatever it was, that mentality will stay. But their occupation now becomes like the husband. Does that make sense? Like Devayani, she's a Brahmin. So even if she marries Yayati, she's still going to be a Brahmin by nature. Right? But is her occupation now a Brahmin? No, now it's that of a Kshatriya, right? When she was in the ashram, then what was it?
Brahmin.
Brahmin, right? She's with her father. And if, and according to her plan, she had married a Rishi, right? Then that would have been, you know, then she would have continued like that. But no, her occupation changed, right? Because of that. Okay? Does that make some sense? But it doesn't mean her nature changes. It just means she adjusts her nature to perform that duty. So, therefore, if Brahmins and Kshatriyas match, is there much change in the duty for the woman? Right? You understand? It's not much. Of course, you're dealing with a lot more opulence than that, but in nature, is it much different? Why is it not different? What's the common point?
Shastra,
right? What are you going to say? They both work very much in the Brahminical culture, right? Anything else? Right? Shastra? The performance of duties, right? Very common. So between a Brahmin and a Kshatriya, not much difference. So if those are matched, it works still. Better, it's more exact, but it'll work. But now if you get Brahman and Vaishya, then what? Right? Because Shastra isn't actually the driving force. Economics is. Right? Does that make sense? Though, by training and by as devotees, then the devotional service Shastra becomes more prominent. So in culture, then they're like a Brahman. Right? But their occupation would be that of a Vaishya. But the nature of money is different. Does that make sense? The Brahmin and Kshatriya are not working to get money. They're performing their duties. From their duties, they're getting money. Vaishya works to get money. Does that make sense? So it's a different mentality. So now, will that be a good match? No. Right? Because it will always be different. Does that make sense? So that's why it's very important, the nature. Right? Does that make sense? Never just go, oh, that one looks nice. Because all girls look nice. Right? So that's not how it is. It's by whether the match is there. Because if the match is not there, that's what you have to live with. You have to live with the mentality. Right? Does that make sense? It's not like you got this big life-size Barbie doll. Right? Does that make sense? Okay? And definitely don't worry, none of you look like Ken anyway. Okay, so, section 78. Vaishampayana has said, the dwellers in heaven became exceedingly glad in welcoming Kacha, who had mastered the wonderful science, and O bull of Bharata's race. The celestials then learnt that science from Kacha and considered their object already achieved. And assembling together, they spoke unto him of 100 sacrifices, saying, right, who's he of 100 sacrifices? Indra, right? Not someone else? Sure. The truth had, the time hath come for showing prowess. Slay thy foes, right? As soon as they get some power, then immediately ready to fight, right? And the demons aren't attacking you. Be happy, right? They're in their place, you're in your place, be happy, right? No, they have to go after them, right? So then, you understand? The demons have the Sanjeevani mantra, right? So, and they naturally are aggressive, so they're going to come and attack, and they're confident. Now, if the demigods have it, the demons know they also have it, so if we attack, they'll also be brought back to life. So are they going to be likely to attack? Not as likely. Though they are sometimes overly zealous, right? Their attachment also makes them do things that are not necessarily smart. Okay. But the demigods now are all enthusiastic. One, of course, they're trying to establish the proper order in the universe. But at the same time, as we do see, because they're neophyte devotees, the ego does get in the way. Right? That's the point. You'll see, the Madhyamas don't have these problems. Right? Very minimal. Right? Neophytes, then they have these problems very much, because the ego is very important to them. Right? Does that make sense? Neophyte will identify with the conditioned nature that this is me. The Madhyama will identify that this is what I have, so this is what I have to work with. Right? Does that make sense? And for the Uttama, they don't identify with it at all, but since that nature is there, with you, it's easier to work through that than something else. Does that make sense? You see the difference between the three? Right? One identifies with it, one understands it, is comfortable to work with it, but the other one doesn't identify with it all, doesn't even have to act according to it, but since it's there, it's easier. So it's natural, right? It means Arjuna has the form of a Kshatriya, the strength of the Kshatriya, the intelligence of a Kshatriya, right? The abilities of a Kshatriya. So even though he's an Uttama, he could do anything. He doesn't have to follow the Brahman. But it's natural just to use that because it doesn't matter what one you use in Krishna's service, right? So whether you're Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, it doesn't matter. If you engage in Krishna's service, Krishna sees it as the same, right? On the mundane platform, then you make a distinction. That's why the neophytes make more of a distinction and more of a thing, and it's social and all political and all that, right? Madhyamas don't bother with it. Uttamas definitely don't bother with it. Does that make sense? So that's why it's there, is because the neophytes will make an issue of it. But by following that those issues nicely in Krishna's service, it becomes devotional service, and one becomes purified. Does that make sense? It becomes spiritualized, you become purified, so then they become madhyamas. Right? And then they're very expert in an area of service, and they do that service for Krishna, but now without identifying with it. Right? Does that make sense? Yes? The time hath come for showing prowess. Slay thy foes, O Purandara. And thus addressed Bhagavat. What does Bhagavat mean? Lord of the clouds, right? Vat means one who has, you know, like Bhagavan, one with opulence, so one with clouds. Bhagavat, then accompanied by the celestial, set out saying, so be it. On his way he saw a number of damsels. These maidens were sporting in a lake in the gardens of the Gandharva Chittarata. Changing himself into wind, he soon mixed up the garments of those maidens which they had laid on the bank. Right? In other words, the girls go take bath, they put their clothes in piles, right? Different piles. So he took the form of wind and went in and mixed all the clothes up, right? So all the different clothes are in different places and all mixed, right? And it so happened that from the intermingling heap, the garments of Devayani were appropriated by Sarmishta, the daughter of Rishabharvan, from ignorance that it was not hers. And, O king, thereupon, between them, Devayani and Sarmishta, then ensued a dispute. And Devayani said, O daughter of the Asura chief, why dost thou take my attire, being as thou art my disciple? Right? Because Devayani's father is Sarmishta's father, Rishabharvan's guru. Right? So then that means the daughter becomes her disciple. Right? I mean, this is, of course, Kula Guru, like that. But does that make some sense? So that's why she's, you know, pulling the tricks, right? Okay. As thou art destitute of good behavior, nothing good can happen to thee. Right? So she's saying, is since you're not behaving properly, what good do you expect to come in your life, right? Sarmishta, however, quickly replied, thy father, occupying a lower seat, always adoreth with downcast looks, like a hired chanter praises my father, whether he sitteth at his ease or reclineth at full length. Right? Means your father sits at a seat lower than my father, even though he's, you know, always very formal, whether he's sitting nicely or whether he's even just lying down, he'll still sit formally, Supracharya. Okay? Thou art the daughter of one that chanteth the praises of others, of one that accepteth alms. I am the daughter of one who is adored, of one who bestoweth alms instead of ever accepting them. Beggar woman as thou art free to strike thy breast, to use ill words, to vow enmity to me, to give away to thy wrath. Acceptress of alms, thou weepest tears in anger. Acceptress of alms, thou weepest tears of anger in vain. If so minded, I can harm thee, but thou canst not. Thou desirest to quarrel, But know thou that I am not reckon thee as my, I do not reckon thee as my equal, right? So now Sarmishta is saying that because you insulted me, she's come back very, very strongly, right? With this passion. Unwarranted. She could simply have said, oh, excuse me, right? Because technically she is junior to Devayani, right? But no, she immediately has to do her whole ego trip that, no, I'm superior, your father is junior to me, you accept alms, you're a beggar, right? We give alms, we do this, we do that. But Sukracharya also gives alms, right? But she makes a whole thing to show that she's superior. So it's not even that I accept you as an, let alone that you're superior, I don't accept you as an equal. You're my junior, right? So Devayani's speech is correct according to Shastra, but a little, not necessarily warranted. She could have said, oh, now why are you putting on my clothes? And she says, oh, I didn't notice. It was just in the pile. They got mixed up. And it would have been over, right? But because she has an attitude, as we see before with Kaccha, therefore she has to say something, right? But now, whatever Sarmishta is saying is totally unwarranted, right? It is true that the Brahmin accepts his position, but that's the uniqueness of the Vedic culture, is that these balances, right? Even though the Brahmin is superior, he's taking a position that appears junior, right? And even though the Kshatriya is junior, he's taking a position that appears senior, right? Does that make sense? Because Rishabharvan is only successful because of following Sukracharya. He doesn't have Sukracharya, he's not successful. Does that make sense? So Kshatriyas and Vaishyas always act according to the Brahmin's direction. Right? That makes them successful. Yeah? You understand the difference here? One is correct but with an attitude. One has an attitude and is incorrect. Right? Vaishampayana continued. Hearing these words, Devayani became exceedingly angry and began to pull at her clothes. Sarmishta thereupon threw her into a well and went home. Right? Means, you know, she was just saying like this, she just was pulling at her own clothes, trying to take her clothes back. But Sarmishta just picked her up and threw her in the well. Right? Indeed, the wicked Sarmishta, believing that Devayani was dead, bent her steps homeward in a wrathful mood. And after Sarmishta had left, Yayati, the son of Nahusha, soon came to that spot. The king had been out a-hunting. The couple of horses harnessed to his car and the other single horse with him were all fatigued. And the king himself was thirsty. And the son of Nahusha saw a well that was by, and he saw that it was dry. But in looking down into it, he saw a maiden who in splendor was like the blazing fire. And beholding her within it, the blessed king addressed that girl of the complexion of the celestials, soothing her with sweet words. And he said, "Who art thou, O fair one, of nails bright as burnished copper, and with earrings decked with celestial gems? Thou seemest to be greatly perturbed. Why dost thou weep in affliction? How indeed hast thou fallen into this well covered with creepers and long grass? And O slender waisted girl, answer me truly, whose daughter art thou?" Right? Because you have to know who's who, because otherwise how is he going to behave with her, right? Because if she's a Brahmin's daughter, he'll be one way, Kshatriya is another, you know, depending upon who it is, and he knows how to properly behave. But notice here that he starts off with soothing words. Right? So he mentions how she looks nice, mentions different aspects that are nice, then asks, you know, you seem to be disturbed, then how did you get in the well? Right? Rather than just, how did you get in here? Because that's then you and the well, and she in the well, but what's the connection between him and her? You understand? This is an important point. Right? There's you in a movie, the other guy in the movie, so you think that you're doing something together. Right? But where's the relationship with you and the other person? Right? You understand? So you're watching a movie. They also happen to be watching the same movie. You understand? The persons watching are the subject. The movie is the object. And in the state of watching it. Right? So it's passive. And where is the connection between you and the other person? Right? This is the problem with modern relationships. You understand? So he's first establishing the relationship with her. Right? Meaning, you're here, you know, very nice looking girl, you seem to be upset. What has upset you? How did you get here? Right? So he's already made a relationship. And tell me whose daughter you are, truthfully. Don't just say something. Right? Does that make sense? This is the difference between the Vedic concept of relations and the modern. Understand? Devayani then replied, "I am the daughter of Sukra, who brings back into life the Suras slain by the gods. He doth not know what hath befallen me. This is my right hand, O king, with nails bright as burnished copper. Thou art well born. I ask thee to take and raise me up. I know thou art of good behavior, of good great prowess, and of wide fame. It behooveth thee therefore to raise me from this well." Right? Now, he's just come out of the blue. How does she know him? She stays in her palace. She doesn't go out. She's not mingling out in the park. How does she know who she is?
By the way he
speaks, that's one. But she says you're of wide fame. One, you could go by just by the qualities someone has. You know that will make them famous. That's one. But what is another element?
Ladies talk.
But yes, but within this talk, that would be how she would get it. But what is this particular body of knowledge called? Right? How is it, what body of knowledge would give her access to knowing that this king exists? What are his qualities? What are his accomplishments? You know, what is his prowess? What is his wealth? You know, who his family is? What are their customs? What body of knowledge deals with that? Because she's present, he's present, it's contemporary. It's a body of Vedic knowledge that tells you what someone is doing today. What is that? The way how he approaches, that would be one thing. Then you're using astrology. But something more, you know, but that would mean you know that particular science. But this is part of a science that means you have to know what's going on today.
Is Dharma Niti Shastra?
Dharma and Niti Shastra. Close. Dharma and Niti Shastra are applied, or the example is applied through this Bhad Shastra.
The Puranas.
You understand? This is Puranic knowledge. Right? So this idea is that Vedic means it's only old, ancient, dusty, you know, fossilized, you know, and all that kind of stuff. That is the opinion of uneducated persons. Purana means from before creation to the future. Right? Modern means from creation that they've kind of figured something out up to today. Right? So if they're thinking they're very broad, very liberal, very open, which is going to be broader? From creation to today or from before creation to the future? Right? Do you need to be a nuclear physicist to work this out? What about a neurobrain surgeon? Rocket scientist? No. Anybody can understand that before creation to after today is bigger than creation to today. So which of the two bodies of knowledge is actually bigger, broader, and more informed? The Vedic. But you have to know how to use it. Right? You have a knife. And you're using it, and you get cut. Is it the knife's fault? No. So if you're uneducated how to use the Vedic body of knowledge, is it the Veda's fault? No. So could you use it as an excuse? Okay, I accept that, that the Vedas are much more informed, much better, much everything, but I don't know how to use it, so therefore I'm using the modern. Means it's practical, but can you, how long can you use that as an excuse? Because you're not learning anything? No one's learning anything today? Right? So if you're going to learn, why not learn from the Vedas? Does that make sense? Since you're going to go to the effort, why not learn from the Vedas? Yeah? Then any other contemporary knowledge is also part of that. Contemporary knowledge, if you look in the Krishna book, was part of what Krishna learned. And just because he learned it 5,000 years ago doesn't mean that, because that was what was contemporary then. If you lived 5,000 years ago, knowledge of 5,000 years ago is contemporary knowledge, right? So if we live 5,000 years later, contemporary knowledge means today's knowledge. But it's called arts. It's within the 64 arts and sciences. It's not hard science. Because why is it not hard? Why is modern knowledge not hard science? Because it will not be here forever. Yes. Why won't it be here forever?
Details.
Details.
Detail.
It's just detail. So what's wrong with just detail? What's missing?
Principles.
The principles. And behind the principles? Krishna, right? So in other words, the Vedas are Krishna's opinion on how to interpret the details, right? You have a principle, so that's given by God. That's how everything works. All details will come from that, right? So then, but you have to interpret it to time, place, and circumstance, right? We discussed this. That's the moment. So interpreting the principle according to the moment, whose opinion do you use? Right? If you use God's, then that's Vedic, because it's eternal. But if you don't use God's opinion, then it's a temporary opinion, so that means the opinion itself is permanent? Temporary. That makes it modern. Right? The only difference between the two is Vedic means you connect it, the detail back to the principle, back to Krishna. Right? Modern means you see the detail, you may or may not, most likely not, know the principle, and you definitely aren't connecting it to Krishna. That makes it modern, because it's temporary. Even though it's the same actual facts, but the body of knowledge is different. It turns from hard science into just an art, a changeable, mutable art. Does this make sense? Yeah? Okay. So that's why these things are important, right? She knows who the other king. She's in the political field, so therefore she knows all the kings of the earth, right? She'll know all the demigods. She'll know all these different personalities. So she knows who's who, right? That's informed. Does that make sense? Vaishampayana continued. King Yayati, learning that she was a brahmana's daughter, raised her from that well by catching hold of her right hand, and the monarch promptly raising her from the pit and squinting to her tapered thighs, sweetly and courteously returned to his capital. You understand why it says squinting to her tapered thighs? Squinting means you're going to be looking down and not looking very, you know. She didn't have clothes on. So if you come across a girl that doesn't have clothes on, are you supposed to stare at her or are you supposed to look down? Okay. Anybody else we knew that didn't look down and got into trouble for that? Yeah, Ganga and Mahabisha, right? Ganga Devi had to come and take birth and be the wife of Shantanu, because she came out into the court, the wind blew it, made her clothes loose so that she wasn't dressed properly, and all the demigods look down. Right? These are demigods who all they do is spend their time hanging out with women and having a good time. Right? But this is not their woman, and it's not an intimate moment with their woman. It's a formal situation in an assembly. So what do? All of them look down and look away. But what did Mahabisha do? He was just staring. Right? And what had happened to Mahabisha? He was a king who got to the heavenly planets, was pious enough that he was invited to come to Brahmaloka, even though that's not his place. And so then what happened to him? Yeah, he got cursed, so then he had to come back down here. So, therefore, is it worth it to lose everything because you're staring at some girl? Yes? No? Okay. Keep these points in mind. This is, as we said, Purana works today. The material energy didn't change from this time to now, right? Trees still grow out of the ground, they go up. Right? When you drop something, it goes down. Right? Wind blows, you know, back and forth. Right? Water's wet, sugar's sweet, fire's hot. Anything's changed? Right? Boys grow mustaches, girls don't grow mustaches. Right? Anything's different? No. So therefore, never for a second think, oh, this is before, it doesn't apply now. Unless, of course, you find a girl with a mustache. Then that's a different thing. But like that. But if she has a mustache and you can't grow one, then stay away from her anyway, right? Okay? I would stay away even if you could grow one. Okay. Yes? Yes, does this make some sense? Yes.
There's a point that I made that he handed the right hand.
Ah, yes, he handed the right hand. I was going to get to that afterwards, but it's coming up. This is a point. Notice twice it's been saying her right hand. Right? Because... What? Anybody understand the significance of the right hand?
Clean.
Huh?
It's clean.
It's clean. Okay. Very good. That's a good one. Yes? Yes. When the girl's given away in marriage, she's given away by her right hand being put on the right hand of the boy. Yes?
Yeah, because you receive things with right hand.
Yes.
Through giving and receiving, and through with left hand.
Right? You give and receive things through the right hand. Right? So that's why she says, it wasn't just she just stuck her hand out. She specifically said, take this right hand with these copper colored nails. Right? One being a girl, she has to point out her nails. But but she said right hand. Right? Does that make sense? Because so that's significant. Okay. And so she's a Brahmin, she's senior to him, so Yayati, is it proper he marries her? Right? In just general terms. Right? No, Kshatriya wouldn't look upon a Brahmin's daughter because she's technically superior, right? So therefore, as soon as he pulls her out of the well and he's found out she's a Brahmin, then he looks down and then like this and then leaves. Okay? Does that make sense? If she had been a Kshatriya, then he would worry more that which dynasty, which line, and this and that, and then possibly there's some possibility of an arrangement there. But she's a Brahmin, he just went. Right? This is a qualified king. Emperor of the world, but not proud, not trying to exploit, right? Son of Nahusha. Another great personality, right? Okay. Oh, so that's the point. Looking down, right? Lakshman. Then he is a married man. When they went to the forest, right? When Ram married Sita, Sita had other sisters. Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughan, they all married the other sisters. Right? So Lakshman's a married man. He's out in the forest with Ram and Sita. So when he was asked by Hanuman, are these ornaments, this head ornament, is this Sita's? What did Lakshman say?
No.
Yes.
No.
He didn't know. He didn't say, oh yeah, no, that's it. Yeah, she wears that on, you know, Sundays. No. She said, I don't know. I never looked above her waist. Because she's not my wife. You understand? So this is another reason the Vedic culture, why, how do you say, the boys wouldn't just go out, check out the girls and get married, because if they followed the culture, they would check out, they could only check out from the waist down, you know, so what are you going to tell? Right? She's got a, wow, she's got a great border on her sari, you know? I like that one. Oh, the green is great, you know? You understand? Because we've heard this other story before, why that may not work for you, right? Remember the story from Katacharit Sagar on about who is the king who lived for 2,000 years? Vikramaditya, right? So Vikramaditya, no, the story within story, right? Vikramaditya, he was carrying this vetal, right? And he, the Vedal had to explain to him a story, because this Vedal, he was the prime minister of a king before, and he had to deal with all these cases, and there were 1,000 cases he could not solve, and it disturbed him so much that after he left his body, he became a Vedal. He was just so much in anxiety how to solve these. So then he said, he explained them to Vikramaditya and said, if you have an answer, you have to tell me. Right? Otherwise your head will crack into 1,000 pieces, right? So he explains how, and this is thousands of years ago, how now when the East India Company was in India and the British were fighting, it tells the names of the people. Right? And he said that this one great king, he was there and his wife and daughter, and then when he went to battle with the British, then he was killed. So they ran off into the forest. Then later on, then one of those, that British captain of that army and his son were walking in the forest just for a walk. They saw the footprints of the of these ladies. And the son understood, oh, these are ladies. And they said, what are they doing out here? It's just jungle. So then they followed them. And there was a small set of footprints and a big set of footprints, right? So then, two girls, father, son, so they thought, oh, hey, you know, they must be lost, this and that, so if they have no protector, then we'll take, we'll protect these girls. So then they worked out, the one with the big footprints goes with the father, the one with the small footprints goes with the son. Right? Sounds logical. Right? So they get there, and then they meet them, they find out that they have no protector, they understand what's going on, this and that, and so then they accept, they agree to be with them. Right? And so the one with the big feet goes with the father. The one with the small feet goes, goes with the son. It just so happened to be the daughter had the big feet. So that means the father married the daughter and the son married the mother of the girls, right? So the Vedal's question is, what's the relationship between the son, the children of that those two marriages, right? This has been driving you nuts for thousands of years. Okay, so therefore, that's why in the Vedic culture, marriages are generally helped arranged by others. Because if you just work by the feet, you might get it wrong. Okay, so you let others make the arrangements. You don't worry about it. Okay. Yes. What was the relationship? Well, how you say? We could conjecture something, but Vikramaditya himself just went, and that was it. So that would be the safe state to take. But as fools rush in, then technically is according to whatever the husband is, that child belongs to them. You know what I'm saying? So technically you would say the father's child would be senior to the son's child, even though the daughter and the mother are senior there. Like that. But at the same time, you would have that overlapping element of that being the mother of your mother, so she would be superior there. So it's a mess up. It's a problem. So that's why Vikramaditya just said, So the poor Vaital got no answer, and he had to go back to his tree. Right? But we learned from this one very important point. One, religious principles are very complex, so you have to look at them very, very carefully. And two, seeing that, you know, the good brahmachari never looks above the waist of the girls, then don't try to work out who you're going to marry by looking at the feet. Okay? Yes? Let someone else make the arrangement for you. Okay? Yeah? Cool? Yeah? And courteously return to the capital. Means he dealt with it properly in the beginning, he's dealing with it properly in the end, right? This is important. At all times, all moments, you're dealing properly. Right? That was the thing. What is this? What is this said? One very... When the son of Nahusha had gone away, Devyani of faultless features, afflicted with grief, then spoke unto her maid, Gurnika by name, who met her then. And she said, O Gurnika, go thou quickly and speak to my father without loss of time of everything as it hath happened. I shall not now enter the city of Rishaparvan. Vaishampayana continued, Gurnika thus commanded, repaired quickly to the mansion of the Asura chief, where he saw Kavya. Who's Kavya? Shukracharya. Why would he be called Kavya? What does Kavya mean?
Poet.
What did he say? Yeah, poet. So that means he was very learned, and whatever he would say would be very eloquent. Right? And spoke unto him with her perception dimmed by anger. Ah, notice here. He spoke unto him with her perception dimmed by anger. Means you only see that. Everything else disappears, right? So that's important to know, right? That anger will diminish your perception. And she said, I tell thee, O great Brahmana, that Devayani hath been ill-used. O fortunate one, in the forest by Shamishta, the daughter of Rishaparvan, right? And Kaviya, hearing that his daughter had been ill-used by Shamishta, speedily went out with a heavy heart, seeking her in the woods. And when he found her in the woods, he clasped her with affection and spoke unto her with a voice choked with grief. Right? Means, in other words, she has a mood, so he's complimenting that mood, right? This is always how they're dealt with, right? The king saw... her in the well, he dealt with her accordingly. She was in grief, he dealt with her very nicely. She was superior, he dealt like that. Devayani is feeling upset, then the father's coming, right? Does that make sense? And so this is just how it works. Does that make sense? This is how it works. One deals in this way, right? That's why the dealing of what is his name? With Shakuntala. Dushmanta. Was inappropriate. He was dealing roughly, dealing inappropriately, wrong mood, wrong words. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. O daughter, the weal or woe that befalleth people is always due to their own faults. Right? Thou hast therefore some fault, I ween, which hath been expiated thus. He's saying that every trouble you fall into is due to something that has happened to you in the past, you've done in the past. So this befalling you is due to some past point, right? Does that make sense? So this is Brahmins, they work by the Shastra, that this has befallen you because of something you've done before. Okay? But it's not left at this. You understand? It may be pointed out because the intelligence then is satisfied. How could this happen? Right? So the intelligence is satisfied was, it's your previous karma. Something you've done, this is then, and now this has removed it. Right? So it's not that, oh, it's just your karma. But that's not dynamic. How is that going to be satisfying? Just to know that. But by having done this, it removes your previous bad karma. Right? You've done something, you've gotten this reaction, but now by this reaction, that is being removed. So now it becomes dynamic. Right? But it's not that it's not being stated in the mood appropriate for the moment of the girl, what the girl's in. And it's not that he's not going to deal now with the mind. Right? That's for the intelligence. But then the mind has to be dealt with. Does that make sense? Because generally what happens is the men will try to deal with this intellectually and it's static. Right? It's just the existence of it. It's karma. Okay, it didn't take intelligence to figure that out. But the point is the karma is going away by this. Okay, well that's good. Even though it's not nice, at least there's a profit there. There's something's happening. That's dynamic. Does this make sense? Right? Then on top of that, it's done in the mood. It's not just intellectual. It's done in the mood that she is upset and then he's upset. Right? Right? Does that make sense? So that's your circumstance. Right? Place. He's having to come there. These different things. The time. He has come immediately. All these different things. Right? Does that make sense? Hearing this, Devayani replied, be it a penalty or not, listen to me with attention. Right? Because that's not the point. How she got into it, this and that, that's what men worry about. Right? Women worry about the experiences happening because of what they're in. You understand? Men find their pleasure in creating the environment, the field, because that's Sankarshan, right? The field is Sankarshan. So that's masculine. Feminine is Prayojana, Aniruddha, or the experience of that. So he's just explained the field, why the field is there. But it's even looking positive. Right? So he's keeping it within relationship. Right? So she didn't immediately get upset and say you didn't understand and start, you know, beating and this and that. Right? Does that make sense? Because he kept the proper connection. But she's pointing out that this is just Sankarsha. Right? Says now listen with attention. Right? Now attention means what? Just hearing? Or hearing with the mood that complements what she's saying. Right? Are you starting to catch a thread here? Right? This is real life dealings. Right? Why are these stories given? Right? So we can learn from them. What were you going to say? Yeah. So we can apply them after. This is exactly how to deal. Right? You know what I'm saying? And no one else is going to teach you this. They're going to teach you some aspect of this, but not to this refinement. Right? Okay. Oh, hear that all Sarmishta, the daughter of Rishapardhan, has said unto me. Right? Why must that be said? She could just say she insulted me. But why won't that be enough? Very important point. Yes? No?
She has a doubt.
She has a doubt.
The experience.
You understand? Because if she just says, I was insulted, then immediately what the father's going to do? He's going to work out a plan to solve that insult. Right? But that's dealing with her, but that's the field. But that's not her experience. Right? For the girl, the important thing is the experience of the field, not the field itself. Does that make sense? Not that they don't like a nice field. Right? Because a good field will give good experiences. But his experience is important. So, therefore, the full story will be told and the full story will be listened to by the intelligent person. Just because you figured it out in the first 30 seconds doesn't mean you don't listen to the 45-minute explanation from 20 different angles. Because those 20 different angles ought, well, let's say, okay, that's exaggerating, 10 different angles. That those are all the different experiences that they're getting from this. So knowing that, then you can make a solution. Because you can adjust the field, but what's important is you adjust the mood. Does that make sense? Because that's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with the mind here, you're not dealing with the intelligence here. Intelligence just, you have these items, you adjust them around like this, and done. But the mood means is what you're feeling, what the experience is, all that. You have to deal with that. Does that make sense? Right? So the smart guy doesn't think, I figured it out in 30 seconds, now I'm giving the solution. You make a bridge, just get over it, you know, that whole thing. That actually is not smart. The smart is to listen to the 45 minutes, or the half an hour, or the whatever it is. However long it is, that's how upset it is. Right? Of course, that's once they start talking. Does that make sense? Right? Yes. Does this also apply for men who are emotionally distraught? Yes, it would be used, but you're not talking about necessarily 10 different angles, and you're not talking about 45 minutes. It would be 5 minutes. Maybe 10 minutes. And if they're really, really overwhelmed, then they will start on so many different angles like that. But the point is, the difference is the man is explaining it to you simply so you understand the field from all the different angles so that you can work out a solution in the field. But it will be emotionally presented, so because it's emotional, you'll apply that rule, that technique. But the application will be, you will show them how to adjust the field so that the problem doesn't come up. In other words, how the field will run nicely. Because the proper operation of the field is what the man's looking for. The proper experiencing coming from operating the field, that's what the woman's interested in. So if the experience comes before, they'll stop operating the field. Halfway through something, they're happy. The man has to complete the action. The woman doesn't. Does this make sense? In other words, accomplishment of rasa is what's important, not accomplishment of moving the field. Does that make sense? I pluck the instrument. I get a sound. What's important? The very expert plucking of the strings and the movement of the fingers? Or the sound, that the experience of the sound you get from it? Right? That's the point. So if you're totally just in the science of playing it, it's not actually going to be very nice to listen to. It'll be technically very perfect. But if it's the sound is what's important, then the technical perfection will then give perfect music. Right? So that's why technique and art must be applied together. Does that make sense? Yeah? So these things are there. When a masculine principle is being projected, you deal with you reciprocate it with masculine formulas. If the feminine is being projected, then you deal with feminine formulas. It doesn't matter if it's male or female. You know what I'm saying? Like that. But it will have the overall flavor of whatever is the gender. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Really hath she said that thou art only a hired chanter of the praises of the Asura king. Even thus hath she, that Sarmista, Vrishabhavan's daughter, spoken to me, with reddened eyes, these piercing and cruel words. Thou art the daughter of one that ever chanteth for hire the praises of others. Now notice here, this is also very important, that she being a Brahmin, she said the essence immediately. She's still following the Panchanga Nyaya. She said, Sarmishta said you're just an ordinary chanter. Right? Of just praises. Right? So then he's clear of what it is she's talking about. She just said it in that short. But she said it. Then she goes on, so that, because that way then you'll fully understand, right? If you don't say, you don't fully understand, so you don't fully appreciate. So you can't fully, commiserate with the feeling, right? Sometimes a girl wants to leave it and say it later. But by saying just the essence right in the beginning, you actually understand how to deal, right? But sometimes the girl won't say it because she's worried that the man will just immediately go in to try to operating the field. But if she knows he'll listen, then she'll say it, then he knows that he's in the right mood to hear. Then she goes and says, now this girl, the daughter of Vrishabhavan, then she says this with reddened eyes, and then she goes into detail, right? Because now she's expressing the experience, right? So this is also the proper way for the girl to present it to the boy, right? Does that make sense? Because otherwise, because intelligence is their field, they have to catch it somewhere. Otherwise, they don't know how to put where to put the mind, right? So then the girl won't get the full experience of him from this moment being fully focused and fully, absorbed in the mood, right? Does that make sense? So if both understand this science, it works. He's willing to listen, and he's willing to do it in the right mood, give full attention, and she's willing to point out just what the essence is, and then get into the details. Yes? How can you explain the essence if you're emotional? Because there's one point that it keeps coming back to. But it can be said in... how you say? Means there's a fact that's generating the emotion, right? Isn't it? So all you're doing is stating that fact, and then you're going to express the emotion. But because the fact is there, then the man knows where to start from, that the emotion. So that way then, from the beginning, for however long the explanation is, he's fully absorbed there. Otherwise, then he has to wait and then piece it together himself, and then you don't get the full attention that you could be getting. You'll get attention, but it's not as full as if he knew kind of where it fits, because of the nature of the intelligence, means that, yeah, just the workings, then they have to be able to fit it into somewhere. You know, it's like, oh, someone's insulted her, someone's done this, someone's... okay, so that's what it is. Then it's, how did they insult, what's the whole situation, what were the experiences? Does that make any sense or no? Kind of? In other words, it's just locating where it is. Even if it's just as simple as, someone's insulted me. Then you know this is about an insult. And so then you know what experiences come from that, what feelings come from being insulted. So then he knows, oh, she must be feeling bad, this and that. Then as it's explained, then he can... does that make sense? Just that much only. It gives a key, and then the person knows, and then he can relax and focus. Because otherwise there's the anxiety of not knowing what it is. So he's running all over the place trying to fit all the pieces together. And as something's spoken, oh, add that to it, till eventually it comes. But then it may take hours, or it may take half a day, it may take, you know, so many things like that. But if that one is said, then it's known, oh, this is the point, and then the focus is there. But on the converse side, the man doesn't immediately go, oh, it's that, so therefore, no. He still has to listen to the full explanation. Right? So in this way, that's the austerity for both of them. Is that the girl will spend that 5 seconds or 10 seconds to say what is the essence of the problem. That's very hard for the girl. And to balance that, the same austerity, the boy has to sit there and listen for 45 minutes while she explains it. Right? So the boy may think 45 minutes, 30 seconds doesn't add up. But we're dealing here in emotion, not in time. So in other words, that it took 45 minutes to explain, it would be, and how much you have to sit there and just, you know, exist, you know, and just, you know, and be there ready to, after the existence has been established in all the field, then to make a move, you know, to keep yourself in neutral, peaceful, tolerant. So that austerity, it is for the girl to actually say those few words that say what it is. But it's important that they both do this. This is the duties of both. So if both know this, both are trained, don't fall asleep. Hey, don't fall asleep. Because I'm telling you. Misunderstandings between men and women are a daily affair. And if you don't know this one, you're going to suffer. So this is what I'm telling you now is stuff that mature grihastha men are dying to find out about. Right? Okay? So pay attention. This is good stuff. Okay? Does that make sense? Because otherwise, if one does and the other doesn't, it makes it uncomfortable. Right? They both have to, then it works smoothly. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. So then we'll end here. And tomorrow then we'll hear the full explanation with all its emotional nuances of Devayani.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.